Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Listen, after that worship set, I don't know how you couldn't be doing great. But if I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, I want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And as I look around and I begin to say the statement that I'm saying currently, some of you are smiling because you know what's going to come next. There's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising his name. And I'm so honored and privileged that you all are here. And I know that you are somebody that has an excitement for what God's doing. And it's exciting to be a part of that. And I get the honor and privilege today, not once, not twice, not just three times. And you're like, wait a second, are we going to four? No, we get the honor and privilege to share a message three times today, but after that, we all get to live it. Okay, so we gather in here at our 8 a.m. and our 9:30 and our soon-to-be 11 a.m., and we hear the message, but then we get to go out and live it, and that's what I'm most excited about. And today, we're kicking off a new series entitled, What's the Point? And how many of you have ever asked that question? What's the point? What's the point of this? Or what's the point of that? What's the point of me going through this? Or what's the point of me having to follow instructions? What's the point of me having to do that way? What's the point? Why? Tell me why. And I pray that God uses me today to answer some questions for you. But I pray even harder that he creates a lot more for you to answer in your time sitting at his feet and worshiping him and praising him and chasing after him. I pray that some questions are answered today, but I also pray that there's some questions created as well. And they're questions that only you can answer in your own life, in your own family, in your own friend group, in your own workplace, in your own goals of life. You can only answer those questions that I pray are created today in your heart. But the answer, the question of the day is, what's the point of faith? What's the point of faith? We all know that we're supposed to have faith, that we're supposed to trust in God, that we're supposed to do those things. But what's the point of faith? Have any of you ever asked that question? I know I have. Why do I have to go through this that way? The times that you ask the question, what's the point of faith, or what is faith, are times that you're going through a crisis of faith. I usually don't walk around with a perfect memory memorizing everything about every insurance policy that I have. I don't have to know what my homeowner's deductible is until I have a crisis that I have to use it for. It's $1,000, by the way, and Nationwide was on Rachel and I's side, and I'm so thankful for that. But it was because of a crisis that we had to learn that and find that out. You don't know what your car insurance deductible is all the time. It's probably $500 for collision and $100 for comprehensive, but you learn that when something happens. And then you learn sometimes, oh, that's not covered. That was an act of God. But your faith is revealed to you not in times of everything's perfect. Your faith is revealed to you when it hits the fan. And you could put the other two letters before it if you'd like. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? S-H hits the fan. Because we go through it. And when you're going through it, what are you supposed to do? Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Today's message is all about encouraging, empowering, building, and getting you to walk out of this place with faith. Faith that he has you. Faith that you are the apple of his eye. We're going to start with some verses here in Hebrews, and we're going to read out of the Message translation. I don't do this often on Sunday morning, but the Message is like dessert after a meal, or an espresso after a good meal. The Message is what I read last when I'm preparing for Sunday mornings and to preach. I read the New King James, and then I read the NASB, and then I read the ESV, and then I finish with the NLT, which is usually what I preach from. And then when it's all said and done, and it's all written, and it's all finished, I read the Message as a little reward. But here it is. Let's read it. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God. Everybody say, trust in God. Now say it like you mean it. Trust in God. I like when you yell at me. Here we go. This faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. You feel worthless? Build your faith. You feel like you don't measure up and you're not worth? Tomorrow? Build your faith. You feel like this life isn't worth living? Build your faith and you're going to get to experience heaven on earth. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Do you feel below? You want to be above? Have faith. You're like, oh, that's really easy for you to say, Pastor. It's your job to say that. I said this before it was my vocation. Why? Because when you look back and see how God was orchestrating everything in your life, before you even knew him, and you look back and you see how faithful he was to lead you through things, it gives you an excitement and an expectation and an ability to look forward knowing how able he is. If you feel below and you want to be above, build your faith. But no, as Christians, we often have these struggles and these comparison games and, oh, that person, they just have it all together. Why is God always blessing them? If you only knew what the people in front of you and behind you and beside you to your left and to your right go through and have gone through and have walked through, you would be like, wow, they're messed up. Whew, they're more jacked up than I thought they were. But I never knew. I never knew. Why? Because some of us are a little bit farther on this process called sanctification. There's people with you today that are in here, that are around you, that are carrying a lot, but they don't have a weight on them. Why? God, their faith in him, their trust in him, their belief in him, their knowing that his word is true and his promises will come to pass in his time and in his will. How many of you have ever felt like people are telling you, you just have to have more faith? Just have more faith. Just walk it out, brother. Sometimes whenever I'm going through something and somebody comes up to me and says, just have a little bit more faith, my flesh wants to take over. I want to get right there. But I don't. I've never done that. But sometimes when you're going through it, people that are filled with faith and joy drive you nuts. Am I the only one? I'm the only one that happens to? You know that person you see in the parking lot and you don't want to go up to them because you know you're going through it and they're going through it too, but they go through it a different way? You're like, I'm going to ignore them today. I'm going to get my coffee. I'm going to sit down in my seat and that's it. I've been there. I've been there. Circumstances and doubt do not have to be an off-ramp from your faith. I'll say it a different way. What you're going through and the ups and downs and doubts and fears of life do not have to be an opportunity for you to jump off the ship. There's a great barometer of people. The church is at its strongest when it's being persecuted and pushed and tried to be silenced. People run to church when there's times of uncertainty. But guess what else they do? They stop coming when everything's perfect in their minds. It doesn't need to be that way. Listen, in a world full of chaos and confusion and instability, what do we need? Faith. You know, I've in preparing for this message and praying for this series, I was thinking about the first one, and Pastor Rick and I had spoke, and the other campus pastors, and we're like, well, we felt like we had to give a formula for faith. You know, give a whole bunch of Greek words and be real smart talking about faith. But it's not a formula. It is not a formula. We can't give you a formula. We can give you examples and encouragement to walk in faith. So what's the point of it? Why do we need faith? Number one, we need faith so that we can be saved. We are saved by faith. It takes faith. It took faith for the two individuals that responded to the good news of Jesus Christ at the 8 a.m. worship experience. It took faith for them to respond. But it also took faith from God to give so much for you and I. That took faith. We live by faith. Romans 1:17. But the righteous one will live by faith, not by what they're walking through and experiencing and what's going on in the world around them. They're not going to be dictated and pushed by the chaos and confusion of the world. They're going to live a life by faith. We are called to walk by faith, not by what? Sight. God doesn't see what you see. He sees different. He thinks different. He functions different. Time is different to him. He's different. And he's calling you out and asking you to be different too. Don't live by what's going around you. Live by what you know you're going to. What's the point of faith? Faith allows us to trust God's character even when circumstances contradict it. Even when circumstances contradict what's going on in our minds and our hearts and the faith we want to walk in, it proves who God is. You look back and see that he's faithful. You look forward knowing that he's able. Faith is also tested. Trials test our faith. Anybody in this room ever been through something? Anybody in this room ever prayed for faith and you're like, he's just going to give me faith. Everything's going to be great. No, he gives you an opportunity to be faithful. I love when you think about that. You pray for faith, you get an opportunity to be faithful. You pray for patience, you get an opportunity to be patient. Lord, I just need more patience, but if you could just remove all the lines at the grocery store and if you could just teach people how to drive through the Squirrel Hill tunnels and not think that it's a monster. And Lord, if you could do the same for the Fort Pitt, that'd be great. Thanks, God. No, he gives you an opportunity to be patient. Faith dictates how we make decisions. Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please God without faith. So every decision we should make, will make, should have faith attached to it. Listen, I'm so excited. We went to three worship experiences this morning, and we're going to stay there. But I'm even more excited for the things that I can't physically see right now, but I can see in the Spirit. I know that God's leading us out of this place and into a more permanent home, but I know it's going to take faith to get there. There's a way at a men's conference all weekend for 3 days, and every pastor that we're in relationship with, that we know, some I didn't even know, was coming up to me and telling me how proud they were of you all and what God's doing both in and through you. I didn't tell them anything. Pastor Rick was bragging on y'all. Sorry, yins. If you're from Philly, yous. It's so weird. But it's going to take faith to get where God's leading us. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. If we live by faith, it allows for us to experience the character of God over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because it's who he is. We're going to talk about somebody else in the Bible today besides Jesus. He's going to come up a lot, as he already has. But we're going to talk about somebody that was very important to Jesus. One of Jesus' favorites. John the Baptist. Matthew 11, verse 11. I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. What? Could you imagine Jesus saying that about you? Out of all who have ever lived, none is greater than the people that make up Bridge City Church. Maybe live with the desire of that. Jesus said this about John. It's so interesting to think that he said it when he was far away from him. He wasn't just giving him a token shout out when he was present. People who make the greatest impact in our lives are people that we talk about more when they're not around. Jesus is saying here clearly, listen, my cousin John the Baptist, he's the GOAT. Before I came, he was the GOAT. I'm going to take that over that role. But before that, John the Baptist was so important in spreading the gospel. John was having big crowds and constantly pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God. He was constantly living out less of me, more of Jesus. We're called to live that every single day. When there's less of me, less of my thoughts, less of things that I'm going through, less of my circumstances, less of my worry, and more faith, there's going to be more Jesus. More Jesus. It's exciting to be able to learn that more and more and more. Less of me, more of him. So who is John the Baptist? He was a man that he called it as he saw it. He was a man that had no compromise within him. He lived a life of purity and completely devoted to God. Completely devoted to God. Let's pick up a story here in Mark chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Let's go back Mark 6, verse 18 first. John had been telling Herod, it's against God's law for you to marry your brother's wife. He had been telling him what he needed to hear, not necessarily what he wanted to hear. And Herod's new wife began to hold a grudge and get a little angry. Anybody in the room ever held a grudge before? One person. I'm so happy. Thank you for being honest. You and I can hold a grudge
Yes, we can.
Against everybody else that wasn't, okay? You ever held a grudge before? You ever took on a secondhand offense before? Nothing even happened to you, and you're upset because somebody did something to your friend or your family member. I almost held a grudge against the stage because it was steeper than I thought. I almost fell into Kevin's arms. He would have caught me. He holds up my arms all the time. Verse 19, so Herodias bore a grudge against John the Baptist and wanted to kill him. You ever been there? Oh, I just wanna... No. Thank you. Don't raise your hand for that one. But without Herod's approval, she was powerless. For Herod respected John, and knowing that he was good and a holy man, he protected him. Herod was greatly disturbed whenever he talked with John, but even so, he liked him, and he liked to listen to him. Herod feared John. There was going to be trouble in the land if they killed him. People regarded him as a prophet. So what happens here? John the Baptist, he gets imprisoned in a dungeon far from Jerusalem. And the story gets either, depending on where you're at in your life and your walk, it gets either more confusing or more encouraging. It's all about perspective. It's all about how you see, and this can get really confusing or really encouraging really quick. All this happened. And then Jesus, remember the one who said, this dude's my favorite. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, and then from there he moved on to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Naphtali. Imagine saying, I'm from Naphtali. Jesus went on vacation. He heard about his favorite. His bro. And he went fishing in paradise. 111 miles away from John the Baptist. He walked 41 hours. Why would Matthew state this? That Jesus went the opposite direction. What? I thought that was your boy. Why is that happening? How do we know that this story and these treatments are true? Because usually when you're talking about the hero, whatever makes the hero look bad, you leave out. So that's why this story could be confusing or encouraging at the same time. This happened. Matthew knew why Jesus did this at the time of the writing. There was an intentional withdrawing. But why? What was the point? I don't know if I'm the only one in the room. I doubt that I am. But have you ever felt like God's a million miles away? Have you ever felt like he's being silent? Have you ever felt that everybody else is getting this amazing blessings from God, and then your Eeyore spirit takes over? Oh, that's good for them, Pooh, but not for me. Nobody loves me, Pooh. It's just my tail. It'll do, Pig. It'll do. John hears about all the wonderful things that Jesus is doing for everyone else. He's in prison, no food, unless friends or family brought him food and water, but there was no food program. There was no a cot and three square meals. The greatest of all time, he doubted. How do I know, or how would you, or if I'm not needed, I'm not important, God forgot me. Matthew 11, verses 1 and 2, when Jesus finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. And John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. So he went, so he sent his disciples to ask Jesus. You know what he asked Jesus? Are you serious right now? Are you for real? Do you know what I'm going through? I did right by you, Jesus. I served you all the days of my life. And this is what I have to hear? That you're out doing all these things for everybody else. And here I am. I'm locked up. They won't let me out. Anyone else start singing it? Okay. He was doubting. He was questioning. John had a moment of doubt. And I've realized in my life, and John quickly realized in his, that every time we doubt, every time we question, it is a true invitation to go deeper in our faith relationship with the creator of the unseen world. It's an invitation. It's not a challenge. It's an invite. Jesus told them, go back to John and tell him what you have heard, what you have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised from the dead, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Hey, go tell John in jail all the good things that are happening. For those of us who feel like Jesus doesn't know, he doesn't see, he doesn't care, and our doubt is wearing us down, that is your story of faith being unfolded. That is your opportunity to have faith and trust in him. The only thing worse than disappointment with God is disappointment without him. Matthew 11:11, I tell you the truth, all of you who have ever lived, he's greater. None of you are greater than John the Baptist. Jesus may not rescue you. He may not bail you out, but that does not mean he doesn't love you and care. He sees things differently than you. So what's the point of faith? It draws me into a relationship with God as a good, loving father. And we need to recognize that faith is not a one-time transaction. It's a destination that we get to walk through and walk to. The Bible refers to hope as an anchor of our soul. When we walk in faith, we get to walk in hope. Hebrews 6, verse 19, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through a curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hope is a rope that pulls us into our future. Hope is an extension of our faith. Faith is the present possession of grace, and hope is the confidence in grace, God's grace for the future. So how do we walk in faith? How do we make sure that our faith is growing? Number one is we need to hear it from the Word of God. We need to pray with faith. We need to obey step by step, one step in front of another. We need to surround ourselves with other faith-filled people. So I'm going to ask the question. And you don't need to answer, but you need to answer in your own mind and soul. How's your faith level? What are you putting your faith in? Is it him or is it you? You need to start this faith walk, and some of us, you need to start running. I'm going to land the plane, and I'm going to read a verse to you out of Ephesians, and it's going to cause another question. And the question is, where are you in your walk? Let's read Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works. And it's so you can't boast about it. You want your faith to grow? Get to the starting line so that he can start running with you. You could start running with him. You could start building your endurance, which is built through faith. Listen, if you don't have a day, a time, a place, a moment where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your past, the leader into your future, and the one who gives you something to have faith in, let today be your day. October 12th, 2025, in an office building in White Oak, Pennsylvania, let today be the day that your faith journey starts. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do, but one of the best decisions you'll ever make. And that is raise your hand to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place where my faith was beginning to get built. I've never received you fully as my Lord and Savior. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, let it be now. Anyone at all. Don't be fearful of the people that are in front of you and behind you and beside you. Be faith-filled to have enough to say, I don't have that time where I've received him. Praise God. Anyone else? Come on. Heaven's rejoicing. Heaven was rejoicing when we started. You know what it looks like to have a second row of a church filled with young men? One of them who knows where he's going now? Anyone else need today to be your day? Your day of salvation? Anyone else? Listen, if you raise your hand, I'm going to do you something. I know I said raise your hand would be one of the bravest things you ever did, okay? This is going to be the second bravest thing you ever did. I'm asking you to stand to your feet because there's going to be people that are going to take you to go pray with you, encourage you, and empower you, and help you see what you just walked through. The feet are the things at the bottom of your ankle. Come on, buddy. I'll go with you. Come on. What's your name? Nick? Hey, his name's Nick. My name's Nick. That's fine.